the Rosary Mysteries are like a journey. So I really felt connected to imagining myself in the mystery, in, you know, walking and going to Elizabeth. And when I started doing that, I kind of felt like it started really opening up my relationship with Mary.
Hello and welcome. My name is Rachel, and you're listening to episode 191 of Candid Catholic Convos, a show about Catholicism that enriches your faith, answers your questions, and meets you wherever you're at on your faith journey. As Catholics, Mary is a big part of our lives, or at least she should be. But sometimes we struggle to build that relationship with her as our mother too. So if this sounds like you, then today's episode is right up your alley. But before we jump in, let's start with scripture. Today's reading, Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38, is one of the most intimate and pivotal moments in salvation history, the Annunciation. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and considered in her mind what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no husband?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your kinswoman Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. What stands out first here is Mary's reaction. Luke tells us that she's greatly troubled, and that detail is important. Mary isn't a passive bystander. She's thoughtful, a discerning young woman who asks real questions. How can this be? Her faith isn't blind, it's honest. She brings her confusion directly to God. And Gabriel's response is the same reassurance that God offers us. "Do not be afraid." These words are not a dismissal of Mary's fear, but a promise that God will meet her in it. He doesn't lay out the entire plan. He doesn't even give her any guarantees. What he gives her is himself. Mary's fiat, "Let it be done unto me according to your word," isn't just a moment of surrender. It's an act of courageous trust. She chooses to believe that God is good, even when the path is unclear. She chooses to step into a future she cannot fully understand, simply because she trusts the one who calls her. This gospel reminds us that God's invitations often come disguised as interruptions, or uncertainties, or things that stretch our comfort. Like Mary, we might feel unprepared, or small, or overwhelmed. But God doesn't ask for perfection. He asks for openness. He doesn't expect us to understand everything, only to trust him enough to say yes, one step at a time. Today's saint spotlight shines on Saint Gianna Beretta Mola, a modern woman whose life beautifully reflects the sacrificial love we see in Mary's own yes. Gianna was an Italian physician, a wife, and a mother of four. She lived a very ordinary, joy-filled life, balancing her vocation as a doctor with her vocation to marriage and motherhood. She loved fashion, skiing, playing piano, reminding us that holiness isn't found in being less human, but in offering our humanity to God. In 1961, during her pregnancy with her fourth child, Gianna was diagnosed with a life-threatening tumor. As a doctor, She understood the risks completely, yet she insisted that her baby's life be protected, choosing a treatment path that safeguarded the child even though it endangered her own life. Her daughter, Gianna Emanuela, was born healthy, while Saint Gianna died shortly afterward. What makes Saint Gianna so compelling isn't only her heroic final sacrifice. It's the way she lived daily holiness, with tenderness, joy, integrity, and a deep love for God and her family. Her motto was simple, whatever God wants. It echoes Mary's fiat perfectly, and it invites us to consider how we can give our daily yes to God in our own vocations. Saint Gianna reminds us that sanctity is possible in the ordinary rhythms of modern life, and that love, self-giving, courageous love, is still the greatest force in the world. Now it's time for today's marquee topic, an Advent encounter with Mary. Today we're chatting with Amanda Snyder, parishioner at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Parish and one of the leaders of their An Investment in Motherhood group, about how her journey through motherhood has led her closer to Mary and in turn to Jesus. Amanda, welcome to Candid Catholic Convos. I'm so excited to join you today on this program.
Thank you so much.
So for those who maybe haven't had the chance to meet you yet, tell me a little bit about yourself and your faith.
Well, I describe myself as not a cradle Catholic, and I'm raising three cradle Catholics. My father went to parochial school, but had stepped away from the church when we were young. So we did not have our Catholicism as a part of our faith growing up. And when I attended, ironically, I had a lot of Christian friends, and it wasn't like we didn't talk about God. We just didn't attend church and didn't receive the sacraments. And then when I was 13, I attended a non-denominational church with my friend and had an experience of wanting to know more about our faith. And so my mom and I did RCIA when I was 13. And largely in part, I didn't really still understand fully my faith until I had my children, which my oldest now is going to be 11. And I am a parishioner at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Parish. And 3 years ago, another mom and I took the reins of a mom group that had already been established, and it's called AIM, An Investment in Motherhood. And I've been doing that for 3 years.
I love that. And I love how kids just tend to have that knack where they just like get you, they awaken something in us that like, because I was the same way. I had stepped away from the faith for a really long time. And then I had my kids and I was like, I should probably, like, there's just something driving me towards wanting to know more about my faith. And in the last, my oldest is going to be 10 in January. And in those 10 years, I have learned more than I ever did going to Catholic school for 8 years and growing up, going to the church and things like that. And it's so unique how motherhood kind of does that to us, which is kind of why I wanted to talk about this topic today, because we're deep in Advent now. And in Advent was such an important moment for Mary. I mean, it wasn't considered Advent then, but for Mary and her journey to motherhood and her saying yes, really not just transformed her, but it transformed the whole world. So talk to me a little bit about how Mary specifically, because I feel like, especially when I was deep in the trenches of early motherhood, like I wanted to relate to Mary so badly because she was the perfect mother. She was the mother of God. And in my head, all I kept doing was comparing myself to her in that she was sinless. She was perfect. She did it. Like, did she ever get mad if Jesus like broke his sandals or like got dirt on himself right before they went to temple? Like it was versus me. And I'm like losing it. Talk to me about how that journey to developing a relationship with Mary was for you, and how do you in the mom's group that you help run, how does that
play into modern day motherhood?
Well, that's a big question. I would say Mary had been personally very patient with me for a long time. Again, not being a cradle Catholic, I was a little hesitant to explore the rosary. It felt like I describe it as two, T-O-O. It was too many things to know, too long to sit through, and I felt scared to kind of explore it. And yet, I had my grandma died when I was a freshman in college, and she was a cradle Catholic, and she had a rosary, and that was one of the belongings that I wanted when she passed away. So when I would go on a plane, I would carry it, I would have it with me, but I was kind of scared to explore it. Then when I was a junior in high school, I went on a trip because I guess I converted the year or two before, and we went to France, and I went to Chartres Cathedral. Might be pronouncing it wrong, sorry, but it's in France, and it's a Catholic cathedral, and I had gotten this Mary medal. And ironically, the medal I picked out was Mary praying the rosary. And so I really kind of left it aside, and then COVID hit. And I started feeling this desire to, I had stayed at home, but my son was in kindergarten. He was doing virtual. And then I had a little preschooler who wasn't in preschool, who was just, I said, can we count this as kindergarten too? Because she was right along with him. And then I had a newborn. And my husband was working from home in the basement. And so I started feeling like I wanted to start running, but I don't like to run either. I'm very repetitive in my thinking. So I had started spiritual direction, and I said, I don't know. I just started feeling called to pray the rosary while I was running. And so my spiritual director said, you know, as long as you are maintaining the reverence, that it's okay, and that some people do walk and do the rosary. And so I started jogging a mile, doing the rosary. And quickly over time, like, I was like, wow, I'm doing 1 mile, 3 miles. And I've just completed my third half marathon, and I pray the rosary during it. And the funny thing was, it just felt like it jived with the running to me, because the rosary mysteries are like a journey. So I really felt connected to imagining myself in the mystery, in, you know, walking and going to Elizabeth, and imagining that, you know, we're going in a journey with Jesus, and we've lost him, and we have to find him again. We find him at the temple, and going to Simeon. And so I feel like those things related, and also gave me some prayerfulness, but also exercise. So that was kind of double duty. And when I started doing that, I kind of felt like it started really opening up my relationship with Mary. And then she really felt like she connected me very closely with the Holy Spirit, and then on and on. And I just view Mary as this beautifully mysterious figure that she introduces saints to me. She brings these people, and I'm reading books, and I'm like, how did I even found this person? But they were exactly what I needed in that moment. And so that's kind of the story of my beginning with Mary, pivoting to how Mary is in the group is interesting as well, because we do struggle as women in the group with feeling like, are we being useful? Are we doing what God wants us to do? And yet this feeling that in a lot of things I've read of, if I wait till I am perfected to be of use, then I am wasting my time now. And that is not my role. My role is to be striving for perfection, but that he can use me as I am right now. She connected me with Sister Ruth Burroughs, who I've read one of her books. And one of the most inspirational things that I've taken from one of her books is that God will, that he could take away my anxiety. He could take away my irritability. He could take away my impatience. But if he doesn't, then he's using it for two reasons. The first reason could be that if I'm perfected, am I going to reach for him? And the second reason is when I am struggling through things, then in fact, I have an empathy and a support for other people who are doing the same, so that he may not take away things for those two reasons, either that it's going to be of use for myself or for my children or for others, or so that it remains me constantly falling down and saying, I tried to do that myself. Here I am, God, help me.
There's two things I love about what you said. First is the using the rosary while you run, because I am always so amazed. I like to joke that MOM stands for Master of Multitasking, because we just have this knack for doing that. And that is such a great way to build a physical strength and spiritual strength at the same time. And one doesn't have to take away from the other. Cause I feel like, especially as moms, we're so stretched for time, or, and not even just moms, but like working professionals who are also have families. Like, we're all so stretched for time that we feel like if I'm going to do one thing, I have to give up something else. And this is a perfect example that you don't have to give up. You know, it's not a either or, it's an and. And I love what you meant, what you said about how our God is using us in our imperfections. I feel like we think that because we're broken and we live in this state of messiness, that God can't possibly find any good for us, which is actually, it's not God speaking to us. It's something else speaking to us, because you're right. God is using that, whether it's for us to remind us that we still need him, or it's for setting an example, like you said, of empathy for somebody else, for somebody going through the same thing. And I just, that's so powerful, especially at this time of year where things can feel heavy, because it's not just about the anticipation of Christmas. It's the anticipation of everything. It's like,
yeah. And I read something one, or I can't remember who said it. I wish I did, but they said the motivator of God versus the devil, because God might give us guilt, but the guilt is then to propel us forward. So if instead of doing my evening prayers, because I felt so exhausted, that I'm end up watching myself something on my phone, or I watch a movie, then I might feel guilty the next day and kind of be like, did we put things in right order? There's nothing wrong with looking at your phone occasionally. There's nothing wrong with watching a movie, but was that really the right order? Did you forget something today? Versus shame, that the devil will use shame. And the shame is, look at you. You know, I even had that a few times when I co-facilitated the mom group. I had just gotten an argument with my kids, or they were upset that I was leaving. And I'm thinking, oh dear, who am I to go and help facilitate this group? And I'm like, but God would never say that to me. He would never tell me to not come and help at the group. So it was the devil trying to discourage me. And that's when I started to kind of unpiece and say, what is my role at the group? And I tell everybody at the group, we're not having the group to say, wow, look how great and put together she is. I say the group is largely in part because I need it the most, and that we are not looking at me. And anytime I look at my brokenness, I look to it as who is the star, like, you know, the ultimate of humility, of the saints that showed humility, but almost in some ways you might say they came off a little cocky, but they came off cocky because of what they knew God could do, not what they could do. And so I think that's really important to say that, you know, I share often, you know, not all my messiness, but I share how I am struggling in, so I can show how God is highlighted and our need for him.
I can't tell you how many times, like when I run this podcast, the thought that runs across my head is like, well, who are you to be like, you're not a saint. You're not, who are you to be telling these people like how to live their faith? And then I have to like reframe my thinking to say, but if it weren't for you asking these questions, if it weren't for you diving deeper into your faith, then you wouldn't be able to help anybody else who's listening, who has the same questions, who doesn't have the access or the platform that you have to be able to get these questions asked. Like that. Oof,
exactly.
That's a great reminder. So thank you.
Definitely. Definitely. Because when we even look at the people that Jesus picked, and again, I'm not a theologian, so I'm going to be careful, but I mean, they were not, they had their stuff, you know, even at the cross, they had their stuff, and yet he was patient with them, and he saw, and again, sometimes it's to highlight, you know, see, even Amanda, and even use her, imagine what I could do with you.
That is so true. I absolutely love that. That's such a great reminder. I was thinking recently because, you know, trying to get closer to Mary during this time of year, yeah. I think my big awakening during that time was I was actually pregnant with my first son during Christmas. Like I was very pregnant because he was born like 2 weeks after Christmas. So I was very pregnant during Christmas. And I remember thinking like, okay, like I was kind of walking in Mary's shoes at that time. But I'm now like 10 years removed from that. And I feel farther from that moment than I did when I was in it. So for those who just want to rekindle that relationship with Mary, what can we do during this season to kind of put ourselves back in her shoes and walk alongside her? Or even just somebody had told me once to look at Mary as my mother, you know, even if I have a great mother already, which I do, that she's also there as a mother figure. So how can we rekindle that relationship with Mary during this time of waiting and anticipation?
I have two very divergent thoughts. So we'll see which one we want to go with. Number one, I definitely relate to her as a mother. And in my brokenness, I also really try to highlight that for my children. I guess I didn't say my youngest is 6. And my oldest will be 11. And one way that I kind of deal with even, you know, being a flawed person, raising flawed children, is I often will say, especially after I mess up, or they seem, we might be struggling to connect in a season for whatever reason, whether it's on me or they're going through a developmental change, I always say, who is your perfect mother? Now, sometimes if they're buttering me up, they'll say me. They'll say, we know that's not true. But I want them to know that they have Mary and Joseph in heaven. And that even when they're struggling with me, they are never alone, which is something that I feel like I didn't have growing up. So I always am like looking at things of like, what do I wish I'd known? You know, when I was young, or what do I wish someone had taught me? Again, just not something that we talked about frequently, is that you do have this relationship with Mary, and they know St. Joseph. Ironically, one of the books we read in the mom group was a St. Joseph book. And one of the big things we got out of it was Terror of Demons. So my children all know, like, St. Joseph, you know, talk to him. He'll keep the demons away. Yeah. So I feel like that's how I connect, also just reminding them. And the second thing has to be, to me, the rosary mysteries. There's some that really, it's interesting at different seasons that I'm in, I really connect to. We have one of our moms that come, and she has taken some icon writing classes. So she's done some little, again, she's not an iconographer herself, but she's taking classes. And so she's showed us some things. And so one of the icons that I traced and painted was the wedding scene, Wedding at Cana. And that one really strikes me whenever I do that one. Again, I know my children are not Jesus, but I really connect to that moment because she had to be ready. She had to be connected to the Holy Spirit because it was in that moment that she pushed Jesus to do his first mystery. And so I think about that one a lot. And I think, I know my kids aren't Jesus. I know that they're flawed, but I need to prepare myself so that when their moments come, and if I even have a little footnote in it, that I that I have prepared them as much as I physically can, that they can rise to that moment. And we talk about that every day. Well, ideally every day, but before they go to school, I try to remind them. I'm like, you have a job to do today. I believe it in my heart. I think God says it. Every day you have a job to do. And if you don't do it, we don't know if somebody else will. And maybe that job is just simply looking out for someone who never seems to have someone to play with, or opening the door for someone, or telling your teacher thank you, or helping me out. But you have a job to do today, and so do I. And so again, like, I really feel like the rosary to me in different seasons, sometimes it's, you know, when they presented him at the temple to Simeon, and the obedience of, I don't understand what you're asking me to do with my children, God. It feels tough. Am I doing the right things? But just really asking for discernment. And I do still see a spiritual director of like, what are you asking me to do in this season? Because sometimes you don't know if you're making the right decision of, you know, public school, parochial school, homeschool, putting them in sports, not putting them in sports. So it's like really trying to say, like, in the decisions we're making, is this what you need me to do? And then discerning that, you know, maybe public school is for my children, and this is why he needs them there. Or maybe he's saying, no, I don't need them in that activity because it's going to sacrifice this. So I just feel like, to me, they are alive and they're speaking to me if I can listen. And then again, that to me is Mary kind of setting that tone to help me to hear what the Holy Spirit is telling me in whatever season we're in.
I love that so much. So Amanda, thank you so much for taking the time and sharing this insight. And I hope you have a wonderful Advent and even better Christmas.
Wonderful. You as well. Thanks for letting me share.
And that's our show. Candid Catholic Convos is brought to you by the Diocese of Harrisburg, hosted and sound engineered by me, Rachel Trochet, and produced by Rachel Bryson. If today's episode resonated with you, please share it on social media. You can tag us using @HBGDiocese. Make sure you also subscribe on your preferred listening platform so you never miss an episode. And if you'd like to support our production efforts, a donation to our diocesan annual campaign would benefit us greatly in continuing our ministry. Next week, we'll be diving into the sounds of the season. That's right, we're talking all things music, Christmas and otherwise. So like, subscribe, keep praying for us, and we'll keep praying for you.